proudest symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome everybody to what is this show called? I almost said Briscoe's Big Announcement.
It's Monday Mailbag, ladies and gentlemen, on ad-free show starring Taylor Williamson with Jerry Briscoe, WWE Hall of Famer, Chickasaw Nation Hall of Famer, and all-around good guy. But I'll turn you over to the main character of this show, Mr. Taylor Williams, America's Got Comedy runner-up.
Wow, why have I been doing the intro every time? You're so much better at this. It's like you're like a performer for the last 70 years of your life.
Oh, I was Ed McMahon for Bruce Pritchard.
You really were. Well, listen, it's great to see you. How are you doing today?
Maybe I was Vince McMahon for Bruce Pritchard. Who knows?
Wow. I got a question.
I was a servant of Bruce Pritchard, what I'm trying to say. I was the man concierge for Bruce Pritchard.
This is a safe space. Do you have anything you need to share? Did he hurt you?
Well, about being a concierge for Bruce Pritchard?
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to eat late at night. That's the reason he's not a healthy character. He's pretty healthy every way, but his waistline and I can't talk bad about him because he—that's bad to do. But just say no.
Just say no to Bruce.
That's what I tell Dave Silva all the time, and Dave don't listen to me.
That's we had a cop come to our school in sixth grade, and he said, "Hey kids, just say no to Bruce."
When was that? 2 years ago.
Are you calling me young? Thank you. I need that. Look at my gray.
Yeah,
beard.
You look that young. Even though you got the premature gray in your beard there.
Okay. Can you say something nice about me, please?
Yeah. You're a good guy, Taylor, on Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays?
Mailbag Monday. Mailbag, that's what this show is. Mailbag Monday on ad-free shows. Now, what's so hard about that, Taylor? You're assigned one simple deal to introduce us on Mailbag Monday on the ad-free shows.
Can you believe that there's people who don't...
By billionaire Connie and produced by... that great Dave Silva, that multi-talented Dave Silva. You know how many talents Dave Silva has? You got a hat on.
Yeah.
Dave Silva's got 50 of those hats. Millionaire Connie's calling for him. Bruce is calling for him. Jim Ross is calling for him. Arn Anderson's giving him shooting him with a Glock, and Tony Schiavone's asking him questions, and Kurt Angle's suplexing him. Dave Silva's got all those hats on. He can handle all. Only just hang on a second. He'll switch hat. Right, suplex me, Kurt. I dare you. Kurt, I dare you to suplex Dave Silva.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, Kurt. Come on. Do it for the people.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this show started because Gerald's stressing me out again. Gerald, I have a question. My first question is for me. I got this dog. I bring her around a lot. Did you have back in the day, were there people bringing their pets around? I know you had Coco Beware. You got Jake the Snake. You got the British Bulldog's dog, Matilda, right?
Matilda.
But did you have people who just had their dog backstage that just they traveled with and didn't go on TV?
Yeah, we ran into an issue with that years back. I think it was in the, I don't know what decade it was, but it was a few decades because I've been gone a few decades now, too. So it was in one of the previous years that I worked at that company down there, the Empire, the Evil Empire. And we had an issue with everybody, male and female, were bringing their little doggies along with them. And there'd be little bitty piles of doggy poop all over the building. And you're walking along. Mr. McMahon one day was walking along, and he happened to step in a pile of that little bitty dog poop. I know it's little bitty dog poop because your little dog's little bitty, so it's little bitty dog poop. I got the big dog, man. You talk about big piles of dog poop. I got to clean up every once in a while because my old lady won't do it. I better not say my old lady, my wife. I won't. She's a lovely wife, too, as you know.
I know.
But yeah, we had an issue with it. But until Vince McMahon stepped in a pile of poop, then no more doggies in the building unless they're used for, you know, business purposes.
Wow.
But yeah, everybody, we had a regular kennel, day kennel. It's like a doggy kennel there. And I love dogs. You know that. I got a bunch of dogs running around. I got a pack of dogs running around my place here. I love my dogs. I understand people wanting to be with their dogs. I understand you wanting to be with dogs. And what really would offend the people, and mostly the male guys, they would show you a dog and you'd say, man, that's a teeny dog. And they'd get pissed off at you.
Wow. Wow.
Can you imagine that? Have you ever had that happen to you, Taylor?
Low blow.
Imagine this guy, 245 pounds, carrying around this little peanut of a dog. Look at my doggy. That's a little doggy. That's a tiny dog. And then he gets offended by it. Yeah, you're saying it's a beautiful dog. You're just describing a dog. It's tiny.
Briscoe is giving me a low blow here. The referee's not looking, so he goes for a low blow. And it's because I was telling him I don't like when people comment that my dog is a tiny dog. Tell me how beautiful.
Oh, that's a tiny dog. That's Peanut, that's Betty Boop. That's my god dog there. That dog, it might be tiny. It might be a tiny little dog. It might look tiny for you, but stick your finger in my mouth and I'll show you what kind of bite I got.
Yeah, stick your finger in Gerald's mouth. I agree.
Next, and Betty Boop's mouth. And bite your old time finger off.
Get your finger out of my child's mouth. But put your fingers in Gerald. When you meet Gerald at his next meeting.
Wash your hands first.
Wash your hands and put your fingers in Gerald's mouth next time you meet him at an autograph signing. Next question. Only if your name is Mick Foley.
I don't want that dirty ass sock on my mouth again.
Next question from Tyler. You ready to get
hey,
moving?
Hey, Tyler. Tyler Rhodes, Tyler, Texas. That was at Earl Campbell, Earl Rhodes Campbell.
Mr. Briscoe, did you prefer wrestling in tag team matches or wrestling singles matches?
You know, that great question. Who asked that question?
Tyler.
Tyler Road. How did I forget that? Tyler, you know, I enjoyed tag teaming with the right guys. Tag teaming is difficult to work, and it's difficult to tell your story in there because there's four guys in there, and you if you're not all four on the same page all the time, it can get discombobulated real quick. I love the single competition. I love the one-on-one. That's what I grew up on, and the school wrestling was one-on-one. But I also enjoyed the challenge of building a good story and in a tag team match there. So I had so many great tag team partners, starting with my brother and on down, and including Rocky Johnson, Don Morocco, and several other guys. And so I enjoyed the heck out of tag team and had a great tag team career. And I'm probably known better as a tag team wrestler than a single wrestler. And I have no issue, no problem with that. I'm proud of my career, both as a single and as a tag team. But if it comes right down to it and I got to pick one, you know, I got an ego like anybody else. Give me somebody one-on-one. I'll go with anybody.
Who else have you tagged with? Tell us some other people you tagged with. Pat Patterson, of course.
Pat Patterson. Sandy Scott. Sandy Scott in North Carolina was my very first tag team partner that on a steady basis. He taught me how to work tag team. He had a brother, George Scott, the great Scott brothers from that factory in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, that used to produce wrestler after wrestler after wrestler. They all come out of that Hamilton area there, and they were superb in a technical aspect, and they were great businessmen in the mental aspect of it. And Sandy was one of these guys that was a teacher. not professional teacher as a profession, but teacher in the ring. And I come to North Carolina and hadn't really worked much tag team at all. And I they at Charlotte was a tag team territory then, so they teamed me up with Sandy Scott. His brother had just left and went to Texas and retired and started in the booking aspect of the office stage of his career. Very bright man. It was the first booker Vince McMahon had when he bought us out, and on the recommendation of my brother and I. So Sandy taught me how to work a tag team, how to be a good tag team, the do's and don'ts of being tag team. I went about a year from there, and it was time to step up and start making some money and going into the feature main events instead of the co-main events, and a step to that. And so they teamed me up with Thunderbolt Patterson in North Carolina. We become the first African American and Native American mixed tag team. That is a black and white first mixed interracial tag team in North Carolina. Wow. We won the championship, and it was a thrill. Thunderbolt Patterson, like I said, Sandy Scott taught me how to work a tag team, but Thunderbolt Patterson taught me how to give me the philosophy and the knowledge on how to draw money and make money being a tag team. So there was quite a difference in the two philosophy. Thunderbolt was in the showbiz. I mean, Thunderbolt was the first Dusty Rhodes, if you get right down to it. A lot of Dusty's spiel and his mannerism came from Thunderbolt there. So I was fortunate enough to be with two of the best tag team people excuse me, in the industry. Plus, we're working with Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen, who are legendary tag team from the Mid-Atlantic area there. So, and Brute Bernard and Skull Murphy and some of the old greats there. So I enjoyed the tag team, but like I said, I you know, guys like that would teach you so much in the business was just a thrill to be around. So yeah, those top guys.
Did your teams ever have names?
What?
Did your teams ever have names?
Yeah, Gerald Briscoe and Sandy Scott.
Okay.
Thunderbolt Patterson.
What a coincidence! That was also your name. That worked out pretty well. We need to put some people in this team. The Booker's like, we got Gerald Briscoe and Sandy Scott. Wow, we got guys with his names already.
And real names, too. Although with Sandy's name was Agnes.
His name is Agnes?
He changed it from Agnes to Sandy.
I get it. I would, too, honestly. Don't tell him I said that.
Agnes in this corner, Agnes.
Huh?
What hell? Pay attention there, Taylor.
There was a glitch. There was a glitch. What happened?
I don't know. Which would you rather have? Agnes in this corner, Agnes Scott, and Taylor Williamson.
Listen.
Or in this corner, Sandy Scott and Gerald Briscoe.
Sandy Scott and Gerald Briscoe is better, I think.
That's a wise decision there, Taylor. I don't know what I did with my water. I need my water, man.
All right, get your water. Next question. Do you want to go get your water?
I can't get water, huh?
Do you want to go get a water?
Yeah, you cover for me, okay?
Well, okay, everybody, cover. Where's
hey, Taylor, where have you been performing and what do you got coming up?
Oh, you're very sweet. Listen, everybody. Normally, we would just press stop and keep this, and I'll cut out this part, but I was instructed by Gerald Briscoe to keep going, and I'm kind of scared of him, to be honest. He's a scary guy. You guys think he's a nice guy. He's really scary, and I'm scared of him. Look at that picture in the corner there. We got a picture of, it looks like him and his brother, some championship belts. I'm worried for my safety. Mr. Briscoe threatens me. He doesn't pay me, and I'm very scared of him, and this is a cry for help, and I hope that somebody can help me, because I just want to stay alive, and I don't know if he wants that, and he could end that. He's very strong. I don't know if you met him before, but he's very strong and scary, and that's why I love performing comedy, and traveling is so great, and the comedy's good, and oh, look, Gerald's back.
Thank goodness. I heard your routine there.
Who's that? What's that painting over there?
What?
There's a painting of you and your brother?
Where?
On the floor, there's a painting of you and your brother.
Yeah, that's Rob Schimbecker special.
Wow.
Blue Light special.
All right, no one gives me one of those,
You
but.
know who Rob is, right? He's a world-renowned artist for WWE.
Yeah.
He did that for me.
That's amazing.
It's great work, by the way.
I'm complimenting it from across the world, buddy.
All the way across the United States of America.
I told you guys he's scary. Next question from Scott Garland.
Scott Garland, is that a Scotty Too Holly?
That's what I was thinking. Isn't that his name?
Hey Scott, I'm glad you're a fan of Mailbag Monday on ad-free shows there starring Taylor Williamson and yours truly there. Scotty, how you heck you doing, my friend?
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
I think
How many
that's
Scott Garlands are there in the damn world? There's only one.
I think there's a hockey
And that's the one
player.
we're asking the question.
Well, listen, Scotty Too Hotty, big fan. I bought those yellow sunglasses, those yellow Oakley sunglasses. I bought them illegally from a bootleg guy in Washington, D.C. when I was 12 years old.
That's like that Bolex I bought on Times Square in New York City.
Yeah.
I said, I got a Rolex for you. How much is it? 2 or 3 grand. Oh man, I'll sell it to you for 25 today. How about I only got 10? Well, I'll take that. I got $5,000 Rolex watch for $10.
Wow. Yeah, who's the chump? The person spent 5,000 or you? You're
I think you guys spent 5,000, you know.
you got green wrists. Your wrists are permanently green, but you save $4,990.
Yeah, what you gotta look, I saved all that green.
Wow. Listen. Scott Garland, curious about how come you all decided to open the Briscoe Brothers automotive business in the first place?
Well, Scotty, I love your worm.
So good.
And
So
we were like, we were just, we were a couple of wrestlers and we knew that our career wasn't going to last forever. And we knew we had to have some business. At first, it was going to be Briscoe Brothers Real Estate. And I had a brother, Brother Bill, my brother Bill, that helped start the body shop. He lived out in Denton, Texas, or now North Texas. Me and Joe Green worked for him at his body shop. He had a body shop. He had previously had a body shop. And so he got divorced for a while. And he moved to Tampa, Florida, where we were at. We told him, come on down here. Florida's nice. You'll love it down here. And so he packed up his old Chevrolet and he moved to Tampa, Florida there. And so we're telling, what, we want to go into some type of business, but we don't know what kind. We're thinking real estate. And he said, man, I just had a successful body shop out in Denton, Texas. He said, let's open up a body shop. So we started looking for a piece of property and all this stuff, and we found a property and we set it up and we opened a damn body shop because it was just that security blanket. You never know when you're going to get hurt in the business. It can be rehearsed, it can be all that stuff that you want to call it except for the F word, and I'll fight you. It'll make you tap like you mean it if you say that to my face, and I'm serious,
I
Taylor.
didn't say it.
And so, but we knew that we wasn't going to last forever in the business, so we started diversifying. And that's how the body shop was created. Our first partners in the body shop was also Dusty Rhodes, American Dream, and Gordon Soley, the world's greatest wrestler, Walter Cronkite of wrestling. They
Wow.
were our first, they were our stockholders in the first edition of Briscoe Brothers, the body shop.
Were you always a car guy?
No, not really. I was a property guy. But I came up around cars. When I remember my old man, he left home when I was about 8 years old, so I don't remember a whole lot. But we had Floyd's Garage, and my grandpa had A.W. Briscoe gas station across the street from my garage. And it was right on the frontage road from the Indian reservation down there in Bowlegs, Oklahoma. So he had a car place, and that's how my brother ended up in the car business because he followed my dad into it because he had to work there as a teenager. And like I said, I was too young. to work at the time, where I'm sure he'd had me working. And so he had had the experience. So yeah, when he said, I'll run it. So we said, good. So cause we won't be around a lot, you know, cause we got to support it and we'll be out on the road. So that was our job to support it. And he ran it. And then 45 years later, we sold it to a big corporation. So we had a very successful business. The average life of business is probably about 10, 12 years, and ours lasted over 40 years. So I'm really proud of that fact that we had that. So
that's
you got to diversify in life.
That's really inspiring. That's amazing. Do you think I should open a business?
You have already.
What's that?
Tater Comedy.
Do you think I should open it?
I'm missing my sign, Tater Comedy. Everybody out there missing a sign, missing Tater Comedy sign. It's like you're going to, you know, the Batman movie and you got no Batcave. You're the Robin and I'm Batman. I want my sign, Robin. Or what Batman's a guy that did
Robin,
what he wanted.
Alfred?
Alfred, yeah. You get Alfred to put up our sign, Robin.
Yes, Batman.
Thank you.
Everyone's watching is like, what is this goofy stuff going on here? He makes him call him Batman.
And how did you get on this subject anyway?
This is getting weird. Next question from Matt Miller.
Matt Miller. I know several Matt Millers. I wonder if it's one of the ones I know.
Maybe.
We just had Scotty Too Hot, and now we got Matt, my friend Matt Miller was in the promotion department of WWE, and he went on to be a head promoter of the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James and all that stuff. So he went on to be a big shot.
Wow.
He went working with Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, one of the greatest all-time wrestlers of all time, to working with LeBron James, one of the greatest basketball players. So Matt Miller, I hope it's you, and if it's not, well, you got a good namesake there.
Wow, I gotta start hanging out with you more, huh?
I know the guys, man.
Wow, I gotta be nice to you now. Okay, Matt Miller says, Mr. Briscoe, can you tell the story of you and Jack getting into a fight with Ernie Ladd? I heard Dutch Mantel mention this on another podcast. Thank you. Love the show.
Well, you know. Alcohol played a big part in that. You know, things happen. I mean, you're invested in a business, and you want things to go like they're laid out. And I understand the talent, you know, there. But it was a overreaction on both parts there, and it was I like to say the funny part, but there's really no funny part in it. But a little humorous thing. 2 days later, this happened on a Friday morning, Sunday night, we were booked in Atlanta, Georgia, and had to wrestle Ernie Ladd. And so everybody thought, man, you know, there's going to be big heat. So in the dressing room there, there's a big shower room there. And so when we walked in, I already said, hey, guys, let's go in back room here and talk. And so everybody thought there was going to be some commotion. So we went back there. We gave them what we started throwing a few chairs around, making some groan noises like we were fighting. We were back there just laughing to each other. We hugged. I mean, we all three of us knew it was a mistake. And I love Dutch Mantel to death. I love good old JR to death. And they're all telling stories that didn't really happen. They're portraying them. There's nobody stuffed in a car. There was nobody. There was no double teaming or anything like that. It was just a big disagreement that probably shouldn't have happened that night. And I was unwise to pick that time of night to confront a 6 foot 10, 330-pound gentleman.
A cat.
Yeah, a cat, big cat.
That's animal abuse.
I know, and I got punished for it.
Wow.
But it's a long story, and it's a story that, you know, you guys and you know, yeah, it's funny. I, I remember it a little bit differently, and I'm sure you got it from the horse's mouth. And but just like everything else, with time, stories grow. Imagine that in the wrestling business, story growing.
Wow.
Wow.
No way. Wait a minute. Did you really do the thing where you all went in a room and people think that you're fighting and you just made a bunch of noise to make people think you're fighting?
Yes, we did, and that was hilarious.
What do you do? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
What?
That just shows you, we're all mature enough to know, and mature talk, making noise like you're acting like you're fighting, but we're man enough to know that we shouldn't, be angry with each other. What happened was just a business deal, and it was a poor decision on both of our sides,
So what, like, what
And
you.
but the great thing about it, for years after that, because a lot of we didn't really talk about it, and they didn't, Ernie didn't talk about it, and he told a few of his close friends. I guess he told Dutch, and I guess he told JR, so maybe they're getting firsthand stories. But I'm sure after a few years, the stories was enhanced and all that stuff. So, the great thing about it was, years after, I mean, we're still young and in business. Ernie was still active wrestler, and we're still active, and we still would go to Louisiana where Ernie was working down there, go to Jordan to come to Georgia where we were working, and we got along great. But just the anticipation of watching the guys when we'd walk in and be in that company with Ernie, and them wondering what the hell is going to happen. And Ernie would game where he would rib along with us, and would rib some of the guys sometime, like we were pissed off at each other, but we never were.
That's so funny. I just imagine you'd be like, "Oh, stop it!" and banging things. You did all of
Yeah, that's
that.
exactly what we're doing too, banging up the commode door,
And then
making a dragon. Oh no.
and do you walk out limping or what?
Yeah, we just walked out selling,
You're a silly
and then we
goose.
went out and tore the house down in Atlanta. So,
You're a silly goose. Next question from Dane Burley. Mr. Briscoe, it seems to be a consensus among former wrestlers that South Louisiana was an area where fans would cross the line more than other areas. How has your experience been there? And then there's a follow-up, but one thing at a time.
in South Louisiana.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I worked Baton Rouge. I tell you, I was in that area in the late, probably 1969, 1970, so the late 60s. And you talk about tough. I'll tell you a funny story that I don't think I've ever told on any of these cellular conversations. You ready to hear it?
I love talking to you on these cellular conversations, and I can't wait to hear the story.
Well, now you're making fun of me. So, see, this is what I go through. Hey, be polite to turn your ringer off.
I'm sorry.
So be professional,
I'm
Taylor.
sorry.
I mean, come on, you're dealing with me. You're working with a Hall of Famer, and you have you're getting an important Hollywood producer car, or maybe an important Hollywood starlet's more like it.
It's Cousin Isaac. He
Oh,
senses.
Cousin Isaac.
Yeah. Anyway,
Okay.
so Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana, Cousin Isaac. We got cousins all over the place.
I know.
So what am I talking about?
You're saying in South Louisiana, you could tell a story you
Oh,
never told
South
before.
Louisiana.
This story you never told before on any of these cellular shows. You don't remember?
Because I've never told a story before.
The question was,
Okay, I know what I'm just, come on, Taylor. Yeah,
I'm sorry. It happens to the
you
best
know,
of
you
us.
build that suspense.
I
You don't,
know.
it's like a baby face making a comeback.
I
When you
know.
think you've slowed too much, you haven't.
I know.
Held another 10 seconds,
I
then
know.
do it.
I
So
know.
I gave it that dramatic pause.
I
And then
know.
I think it was long enough. No, so I did it for another 10 seconds. And you're jumping the gun just like a typical heel would be, trying to get his shit in.
Okay. Okay, well, tell us the great story.
Well, I didn't say it was a great story. I just want people to judge if it's a great story, but it's a funny story to me. I'm basically right out of college and basically had probably a couple of dozen matches. So Leroy McGirt comes to me and said, "Kid, it'll be good for you to leave Oklahoma." They always tried to ship you out of your hometown, you know, so they wouldn't have to beat you all the time when you're a rookie. So, you know, why not just put the guy over and you don't have to worry about it, you know? So, but that was old school. So he sent me down to Louisiana. So I was going to, he said, "I'm going to team me up with Gorgeous George Jr." And there's a team down there called the Dalton Brothers, Frank and Billy and whatever. I can't remember all of them names, but they were badass. They were like motorcycle gang type Dalton Brothers, bikers, you know, mean guys. Not that all bikers are mean, because I know some nice bikers.
I have a bike.
You got that tricycle. That ain't no bike. You hook Betty Boop on the little side handlebar with your little Ultimate Warrior tassel. So when you go fast, see, they go, and you put your little baseball cards in the spokes. So like, whoop, 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 whoop.
You know what? That actually sounds awesome, and I would be honored to get to do that. That would be so. I'd be the coolest guy on my block.
You'd probably get a date then.
Probably. I'm gonna try that once we
get your luck.
Once we hang up this cellular conversation, I'm gonna go shopping.
You want me to finish this story, or you want to wait until tomorrow? So where was I then? So I was a rookie, and I'm going down Louisiana. I'm going to get teamed up. So my first night, we're in Monroe, Louisiana.
I've been there.
Yeah. Oh, don't say it like that.
Oof.
Monroe's a nice town.
Oof.
Yeah. So anyway, there's some badasses in Monroe, Louisiana. You'll agree with me on that, right?
Some badasses.
So anyway, I'm on a middle match. They tell me go over and get over, you know, whatever it takes time and get your hand. You know, you're going to do a run in the main event. We're going to set up a program with you and George. It's going to be the Dalton Brothers with George and his partner. His partner is going to get hurt, and you're going to run out and help George. These Dalton, I'd never seen the Dalton brothers in my life. Never. I never seen no pictures. I didn't know who the hell they were. But I saw the Dalton boys in the ring, and they were dressed like motorcycle guys, and they had actually had a cheering section where there was a lot of motorcycle guys, you know, at ringside there. They're fans, you know. What did you call it back in those days? You know, if you're working that gimmick, you make friends with the local motorcycle people, and you're kind of cool with them, so you're okay. So they told me, when you're making a comeback out there, you know, knock this guy down, knock Frank down, knock Jimmy down, and their cousin Bill will come running into the ring, and you nail him. I'm out there, I make the contact the right time. George is selling, George's partner's hurt, and they're double teaming him. Is all of a sudden, they, okay, Briscoe, here's your cue, run out and get over. So I run out, and I'm in the ring, and I'm fighting. And I'm fighting these guys, and all of a sudden, this guy pops up. Well, I think it's one of the damn motorcycle guys, so I don't work punch him. I nail his head. And he goes down, and I can see the blood gushing as he's going down because I caught him right here on that cheekbone there. He's down there. I can hear him screaming, "You stiff bitch, who sent you? Who said you could work?" You know, I knocked his ass out, and it killed the damn angle.
Wow.
And we had to do the angle the next night in Shreveport, and I got heat. But I didn't know. I thought it was one of those motorcycle guys, and I was just trying to protect myself.
That is funny, buddy.
So that's my South Louisiana story that was never told before.
Wow.
It was worth the wait. Worth the drive.
I liked it. And how do you make up to someone for knocking them out because you thought they were a biker?
You don't.
Oh. Wow. Well, there's a follow-up to the question. Have you ever tried the Cajun delicacy boudin? And then there's a note, Taylor, it's similar to pork rice dressing stuffed like a sausage, but 70% meat to rice ratio. I'm a little offended that he's like, Taylor, you wouldn't know what this is, but here you go.
Well, because you're not a Southern boy. You're not, man, who asked this question?
Dane Burley.
Dame Burleigh, that's a great cage in the Burleigh. Ben Burleigh was down on the corner down there in Shreveport, home on Louisiana. We're going to go over to LaGrange. They got good crabs over there. They got good crayfish over in Houma. It's a crayfish capital of the world, Taylor. You wouldn't know that because you're that city boy, you know. But man, I love the food down there and I love the people down there.
Have you tried boudin?
You know, I have not, but I know what you're talking about. And I love jambalaya. I love all that good gumbo. I mean, oh, man, there's some meat. Now, the boudin, the next time I go to Louisiana, it's like the rice pudding, the bread pudding down there. You got to have it. And the pralines. Have you ever had a New Orleans praline?
I don't think so.
Taylor, you haven't been anywhere in your life, have you?
I've been in New Orleans twice. But just for the
Never,
day.
you never went out to eat? They don't let comedians go out to eat?
I went to that place where they give you a hat and then they give you the powdered stuff. You know what I'm talking about? The beignets? You know what
I
I'm
don't
talking
think I'm allowed to go to those kind of places.
It's like their famous touristy thing. Listen, Liam Evans has a fantasy booking question. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Who is this, William?
Liam.
Liam.
William without the will. It's the Liam.
Okay. Whatever you say.
I never thought about that. Did you ever think about that? The name Liam is William without the will.
It is. Maybe he don't even know it. Maybe Liam.
I didn't know that. Did you know it?
He got cheated what he got. Probably he had a drunk damn guy filling out his birth certificate and left out a letter.
Probably.
You know, I added a letter on Joseph's name.
No way.
Yeah. He's still mad at me to this day because it's a problem. Birth certificates are hard to change.
What's his name?
Joseph.
But how'd you spell it?
I don't know. I spelled it wrong. I put the E and the S in the wrong position. That's easy to do when you're excited and you just have a baby boy, you know?
Yeah, you just went through all that. You had all that. It takes a lot of work for you to make a child, and then you're supposed to fill out paperwork now?
Right at the moment, you're all happy. How do you spell his name? Oh, it's Joseph. I didn't spell it. I'm blaming it on the nurse. She just took it in her own and did it.
I understand.
Not that there's any problems with the way she sold it, but it's not the way he wants it. He's one of these big landscape architects, and I got all these damn degrees, got all these letters behind his names.
I know about him. I know what's up. So, Mr. Briscoe, out of all the singles wrestlers of today, who would you have loved to have shared a ring with and why?
Man, there are some good choices there. When's today count? I mean, can I go back to just a couple years ago? Or
I give you permission to go back to up to 2 years.
You know, There's several of them, but you know the one that stands out, you know, no matter what he did with Brian Danielson or Daniel Bryanson or whatever, you know who I'm talking about.
Taylor Williamson.
Yeah, him too. Yeah, just on the competitive side, I just think he would be a fantastic guy to get in the ring with, and. I even at an older age, I think I can learn something from him because the business has evolved so much, and you know, he's just an outstanding performer in the ring, you know. And I don't care what his size is, or you know, what his name is, or what company he's working with. You can't take that talent away from him. He's a tremendous young man. Personally, I think he's a good man, and. So a good man and a talented worker, I'd love to share the ring with him.
What about a tag team that you and Brother Jack would go after from a modern time?
Are there any tag teams left in modern time?
I hear, but you could pair up two singles guys, like you were two singles guys put together, like.
Roman Reigns and what's that other guy's name? The
Heyman.
No, I was Paul in the corner, but the Roman and
Brock?
Architect or whatever his name is.
Brock?
No. The way he used to call himself the architect, I don't know what his name is.
Oh, Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins
And Roman Reigns.
and Roman Reigns. It was Paul Heyman in the corner with Jack and I, Gary Hart in the corner.
What about Brother Love?
He's too old, too young. I mean, he invented tag team wrestling.
That would be a match. Oh,
that invented that. Him and Dr. Tom.
I believe you. I believe them. I would watch that. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins versus the Briscoes with Gary Hart in the corner and Paul Heyman in the corner.
Yeah.
Wow. What would the finish be?
Jim Cornette running in with a tennis racket and hitting Roman Reigns over the head and me covering him.
Nice. Yeah. That's fun. I like that. Let's get more of those fantasy bookings. I like that. That was fun. Next question from Heather Whitley. Heather's back.
Hey, Heather. I really appreciate Heather. And I know there's some more ladies out there that cracked the Taylor Williamson charm. So please send us some questions because we know you work. You're according to all the statistics and all the data that we get, you're 52% of our audience. So send those questions in because we want to know your side of it.
Wow, I didn't know about that. You got the inside track on the data, huh?
I know Super Dave Silva.
Super Dave Silva. Oh, we got to get that graphic made. Someone's got to Photoshop that.
Did you ever see that one where he had the levy drop on him and he turned into a football helmet?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Super
Dave Silva had a football helmet.
Dave Silva or Super Dave?
Super Dave Silva, yeah.
I haven't seen that at all. Next question. So Heather says, I know you really enjoyed your and Pat's last run the company. With hindsight being what it is, what would you change about your and Pat's segments, if anything?
I wouldn't change anything about the segments. I still think, and it's the ego more than anything else, I still think they should have put Pat and I over for the tag team when they had a chance against Road Dogg and Billy Gunn in Tallahassee. We were getting such a huge pop, and you hate to do this winless Jack Hart thing here and pat yourself on the back, but I think Pat and I were really over as a tag team. It wouldn't have made any sense at all, and I think that's the reason it would have helped, and then they could have beat the crap out of us the next night and gave them back, but the night was right to do it, and the location was right. It's just one of those nights that you felt, and you know what? Road Dogg and Billy felt the same way, but the boss just didn't feel that way. Didn't think it would enhance their Billy and Road Dogg, you know, because there was a run in from somebody, I forgot who ran in, so we could have switched it. Really, it could have been so simple to do, and I think it would have. Do I think it would have made a difference in how we got over? No, but would have been fun. We could, you know, Pat and I, we could have bragged on it and, you know, really made a good story out of it and had some entertainment out of it. And it's selfish, you know.
No, but I agree completely. And how interesting is it that, so how old were you and Pat at the time, about?
Mid-50s.
Were you mid-50s?
I was probably early 50s. Pat was mid-50s, I think.
Wow, and isn't it crazy
that... 2000. I was born in 1946, so what year? 2000. How many years is that?
Well, 2000... You would have been 40...
You went to a private school, private Catholic school in upscale...
None of this is true.
San Diego.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, so if you were 1956 and then you were in 2000, you were 44.
Okay. Close enough.
That's not early 50s, buddy. What is wrong with you?
Well, it felt like it, man.
I don't think you're the sharpest guy I know.
You get body slammed by a 300-pound muscle man like Billy Gunn and see what age you feel.
You were 44?
Can be.
54. Wait, John Cena is 44.
If I was 54.
I don't think you know what year you were born. Anyways, but it looks like Road Dogg just registered his name or something. I don't know. There could be a New Age Outlaw.
Get Road Dogg certified out there. Everybody go to Twitter and get Road Dogg certified. Hell, he's a legend. Every one of you people on Twitter, If you ever tuned into WWE Wrestling, you saw Road Dogg. You know it's him. We're all verifying. John Layfield verifies him that it's a real deal. Get Brian James verified or whatever the hell it is. Get him that damn thing that you put on the end of it.
Get Taylor Comedy verified on TikTok. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know what? TikTok, I got a crow to pick with TikTok. TikTok, you don't know what you're doing. You this man here, a Mailbag Monday on ad-free show, is the biggest star. He's a bigger star than Mike Chioda. He's a bigger star than Tony Schiavone, or what is his last name? Tony, a real good guy.
Schiavone,
yeah. He's a bigger star. All those guys. Plus, he's America's Got Talent. He kissed Heidi Fleiss.
Thank you. It was so good till the end. Thank you. Next question from a Hornet's Beard Guy.
A Hornet Beard Guy. Have you ever seen a hornet nest? That's probably what he's talking about. The hornet's nest are bad.
Hey, Mr. Briscoe. Where did you... Do you see how good that was? I just kept going, you know? Where did you like to stop off and eat before heading out of Charlotte way back when?
Charlotte. My favorite restaurant was the old Diamond Restaurant right there off of Independence and Tryon, I think it was. It was a little family-owned diner, you know, had this cute little waitress there. And then there was another one over across the street from the hospital called Anderson's. They had the best pecan pie in North Carolina. So those were my two favorite. And both of them were, you know, those little mom-and-pop places that you get the best food in the world in. And North Carolina cooking is so good. I married a lady from North Carolina.
I once got my car booted outside of Chipotle in Raleigh.
Chipotle's not in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, you're in Raleigh. Okay, there you're up there with all the smart people in the research triangle.
Yeah. Ben Ledbetter.
Ben, you kidding the old Led Belly that used to play the blues guitar?
That's the same one.
Same one. Probably his uncle.
What was going through your mind the night Daniel Puter hooked Kurt Angle on SmackDown? You never talked about this before.
I did, but you didn't hear it.
No, I'm joking because we've talked about it about 35 times.
Yeah, but Ben didn't hear us talking.
Ben didn't hear it because he didn't go back and listen to the shows like we told
him
to.
Well, you know what, Taylor? Don't get on our fan. Don't get on these people who sent us questions.
We got 35 episodes.
No.
He's banned.
Ben,
you're banned.
No, Ben, you're more.
Ben, your name is banned. Banned.
Please send your questions in. Block that Taylor Williams at him, you know? I mean, you're welcome in my feed anytime, Ben. What the hell is this question, anyway?
He says, what was going through your head when Daniel Puter hooked Kurt Angle on SmackDown?
What was going through my head is protect Kurt Angle in any way I needed to, as an APA or a men on a man, whoever the hell it was, any means, that's nation, domination, any means.
You just mixed up five different people's things.
It's okay. They're all the same.
I love it. They are kind of.
Yeah.
Wow, don't trust anybody, DTA, Stone Cold, Acolyte Protection Agency, and by any means necessary, Farouk, Nations of Domination. Wow.
Oh, they're all the same guy.
Wow.
See how quick I am getting all that together?
Wow. So there you go. He was trying to protect
him. I was trying to figure out, you know, when I saw the hole and I saw the position, I knew what had to be done. But, you know, truth be told, and, you know, some of these stories going around, you know, I was against it all day long and I voiced my opinion all day long and nobody listened to me. But I voiced my opinion. I knew Kurt was just coming back and I knew Pewter would. I didn't think he'd go into business for himself like he did, but I knew that he was a stud and he had a lot of pride, and I knew that he wasn't just going to patsy back. In other words, he was going to show what his worth was, and And he did. And but my main concern was making sure Kurt was going to be safe in there. Even I knew what was going to happen. I was so against it all day long. I mean, it was the wrong thing to do, and I voiced my opinion it was the wrong thing to do all the time. Oh, it'll work out. Don't worry about it. You know, all these smart people that still got a job. You know, it'll work out. Ball said it'd work out. Well, I don't think it'll work out.
Why do you think Pewter didn't make it in WWE?
Because he tried to go into business for himself too many times.
Oh, it wasn't just that time.
Well, you know, there's a certain, it wasn't just that time. I don't know all the incidents, and I'm not going to bury Daniel Pewter, because Daniel Pewter was always very nice to me, and I always had a tremendous amount of respect for him because of the way he treated me, and I think I treated him likewise. And so he did what he did, you know, and, it was years ago. We're still talking about it, and I just, you know, like you asked me the question, I was asked the question by Ben. If it took you 20 minutes to get Ben's question out, which is a very good question, but my first reaction was to take care of her. Yeah.
Cool. Next question from Derek, Mr. Briscoe. The story goes is that if you wanted to hook someone, they would be hooked. Huh. What about the boss, Andre? Could he be hooked?
By AAA, you could call AAA and have him bring a little big truck hook him and they'd hook him. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you could? Is there any way on earth
you couldn't even hook his damn little finger? His little finger was like. Have you ever seen? Have you ever eaten bologna?
I don't think so.
Us people from the South, we know what bologna is. A big old roll of bologna is about this big around. Yeah. Andre's little finger was about the size of a damn roll of bologna.
Yeah.
You couldn't even hook that.
Yeah.
Somebody posted a picture of me and Andre one of those cellular social platforms there, or whatever they call them.
Yeah, you posted it.
No, I reposted. What do you call that? A guy from Australia, Michael. Michael, listen to this show. Why don't you ever ask questions, Michael? You always hammer me on the social media cellular sites. So spend that three. I don't know what it is in Australia, but spend that there. Those Australians are cheap people. Now, I live down there. Yeah. I was one of them. So I love Australia. I love Sydney. We talked about Sydney earlier. It's one of the most beautiful places in the entire world. But I don't even know what the hell I was talking about there. But
you're saying that his finger, his pinky, was like.
No way. I don't know a human being alive that could.
Interesting. How many questions about Andre do you hear, like, inappropriate questions, like not appropriate for family friendly questions? Because it is curious.
We just skip over them, Taylor. Don't take them so personal. They're not asking about your appendages. They're asking about Andre's.
No, but I'm wondering.
What are you wondering?
But like, did you ever meet a woman?
Anatomically correct.
He was. But did you ever meet a woman who spent the night with him?
Yeah, several of them. It kind of hurt my feelings, too.
They hurt your feelings?
Yeah.
Oh, they picked him over you?
Sure.
I mean, yeah, it's like, well, I mean, like, once I get it. One time I was talking to a girl at a bar, and this handsome man from the real world was there. He's like the most handsome man I've ever seen. And he sat down. He was like a gentleman. I've never been cock-blocked by a guy so politely. He just sat, he shook my hand. He's like, how are you? And he started talking to this girl. He took my seat and he just took over. And I was like, I get it. Like, enjoy. I like who I am. I'm an 8. We talked about this. But, you know, have a nice time. But like, Andre, I feel the same way. I'm like, yeah, look, enjoy Andre the Giant, you know? Right?
It's your only chance. He only comes through town every once in a while.
But, like, did they have to go to the hospital later?
I didn't follow up on it.
All right, next question. Gentleman Chris Zanto.
Gentleman Chris.
Gentleman Chris.
Hello. Most of them are Gentleman Jim.
Hello, Mr. Briscoe. Do you have an opinion on why Skandar Akbar was never in the WWE?
No, I have an opinion on it. Of course I do. We all have an opinion on it. But do I know why? No. But my thoughts of my he was a little bit working as a scout maybe in Texas at the end of his career and at the end of his life. I don't know if it was official or anything, but Skandar was at most of our matches in around the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But I just think he had such a great position with Bill Watts, and Skandar is one of these special people that was really loyal to people. Skandar stayed in the same area his entire career because he felt he owed him a debt of favor for getting him into business. But I appreciate Skandar Akbar for being in the business and sharing his knowledge with me. There's never a finer guy. I know we said about a lot of guys, but Skandar is one of those guys that very few people, if any at all, can tell you anything negative about the guy. But he deserved to be in every professional wrestling Hall of Fame on the face of the earth, in my opinion.
Very cool. We're getting through questions like we've never done before. I'm very impressed.
Well, that's because you had me ask for them. And you jabronis out there listening, when we put out a request for questions, we expect results, okay? How can we have mailbag money if we got no questions? Yeah. How can Taylor have a job and feed little Betty Boop, who's little bitty, by the way? He gets offended when I say that, but how can he put food on little Betty's table? She got a little table.
You know what Mailbag Monday is without the mail?
It's just mailbag.
It's just a bag Monday.
Yeah.
No one wants,
and who wants a bag Monday? We've all been on a few bag Mondays. I'm sure I have been.
Hey, you go with what you can get, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Our next question from our friend Greg Prescott.
I know Greg. Greg's a St. Petersburg, Florida guy. Would work for the United States Post Office. He's a big shot up in Washington, D.C. up there. And the capital up there, he worked with all these big shots up in D.C., you know. So welcome aboard, Greg. It's about time you send a damn question.
Besides taking, this might be our first question from a federal employee. Wow.
How do you know?
It
could have been some Secret Service guy. They're not going to tell you their Secret Service guy and ask questions.
Besides,
we got a lot of fans that are Secret Service. I had two cousins that were FBI agents. They're not going to call and say, I was an FBI agent.
Is that true?
That's true, yeah.
Wow.
And a GA. They knew a lot about Michael Hayes.
Oh, man, they must have a whole...
Yeah,
a whole
dossier, as they say.
They have a whole office just to fill.
Bad street BS, yeah.
Oh, my God. Besides taking a lot of bumps in your stooge role, who was the stiffest guy you worked with? I know you said Dan Hodge would sometimes revert back to working tough in matches, but not sure that would be the same. He wants to know, who was the stiffiest stiffy?
Well, see, I got in trouble last time. I said somebody was stiffy on me. Taylor took it to the garbage. He took it to the dirt. You know?
I'm a professional. You love being in the ring with stiffies.
I didn't say that like that.
It's okay.
Okay. Well, it's my profession, I guess. Who was the stiffest guy besides Danny Hodge? Danny was pretty damn stiff. But I tell you, a lot of guys that are really tight on you were really good. And I always like that because I hated those guys that floated like a butterfly because you never knew which direction to sell and what to sell because they just barely touch it. I like those guys that lay it into you. And So I preferred the stiff guys, and Ole Anderson was one of those guys that would bring it to you. Gene Anderson was another guy that would bring it to you and just make you work. And that's how that was their method of making you step up your game. So I never worked against a guy that was really stiff that I got mad at, because I know I was equally stiff back to him. And so I welcomed it and I enjoyed it, because it made me work that much harder to keep up with them. So I can't name names except, like I said, Ole and Gene and Stan and Bobby Duncombe, those big guys, Killer Carl Cox, Dick Murdoch was still, even though Murdoch was like a butterfly when he was in the ring, Murdoch was heavy on you, and he made you work. He made you step up. So I enjoyed working with those guys, because, like I said, I learned something, and I learned that I had a different gear, and certain guys can bring that gear out of you, and I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, listen, that's the show.
No. Yeah, we got time for one more.
Who's in charge around here?
Super Dave Silva.
All right, one more question. Marshmallow Puppet Show.
Oh, man, we got some listeners out there. Marshy, I really appreciate you being there, Marshy.
Marshy wants to know, hello, sir. What tag team of today do you feel comes closest to resembling you and your brother back in the day? Also, if the APA took on the Briscoes, who are you picking to win? Thank you.
Well, the tag team today, I have trouble finding a tag team of today. The Usos. I would love to be in the ring with the Usos. I think the Usos could give us some competition there. I think the Alpha Academy, two guys.
Yeah, Otis.
They're both amateur phenoms. I mean, both of them were represented USA and Pan American Games and world competition. So I think those guys. I think whoever Sheldon Benjamin is tagged up with, Sheldon, I'd love to be getting in a ring with guys like that. But I think Alpha Academy are the Usos.
It's Cedric Alexander. But
there's a tag team down at NXT everybody better keep their eyes on, the Creed Brothers. Those guys, I mean, they're nothing but powerhouses. You want to challenge them mentally? Hell, one of them was Academic Athlete of the Year at Duke University, so you challenge him academically. You want to challenge his skill in the ring? Challenge either one of them, because they were both in the top four ranked in the guys in the nation in that heavyweight division there. Their passion, they're just like everybody out there listening to it. They started wrestling each other and wrestling, watching wrestling when they were 3 or 4 years old, and their mom and dad bought them ever belt and never ever action figure that ever come out. So they know the history of the business, and plus you better watch out for them down there at NXT, because I think they're in a semi-classic. I think the semis or could be in the finals by the time you hear this thing. I don't know. Or they could have got beat, but I don't think they'll get beat. And if they do get beat, I'm sure they'll come back and kick butt later on. Pay attention to those boys.
Awesome. And who would win, you versus APA?
Oh, man. I would, you know, everybody used to say, who would win, you and Road Warriors? Well, we proved who could win.
Did you fight the Road Warriors?
Yeah, we left our tongue dragging the Omni floor. My brother said, we're going to wrestle you. We were going to do something that you don't know how to do. We're going to wrestle you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
In a no DQ match, even.
Where was this?
Atlanta, GA at the Omni.
Wow.
Told you I had two cousins, FBI agents there.
That's amazing. But you're still dodging who.
What, that I got cousins that are FBI agents? That's amazing.
You're still dodging that. Okay. But yeah, you're still dodging that who would win versus APA.
I think I had some.
You're avoiding it.
What is that word? Anyway, I would love to, because they're two guys that'll beat the holy crap out of me.
That's my worst
when I
nightmare.
spend 5 minutes saying, I love that kind of work, and I, I want to fight back, I don't think fist to fist I could stand up three, I couldn't exchange three punches with either one of them, but I think while they're punching me, I think I could double leg their ass. There's an old saying, when you get them down, they're the same size as you are,
Wow. Wow. Well, there you go. That's the show.
I didn't say I'd beat them, I just said I'd double leg them.
I heard you.
I got too much respect for that damn Seminole, Ron Simmons, the greatest football player to ever produce out of Florida State University, and that Abilene Christian Hall of Fame football player, John Bradshaw Layfield.
Wow.
He's in all these Hall of Fames too. He's in the Abilene Christian Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
All right, I get it. You love him more than me. We understand.
Oh, now you're taking it personal. I was just getting ready to, but he's nothing compared to Taylor Williamson. The, massive numbers that he had on. They had their 50th anniversary, and who did they call to come to welcome the new generation after 50 years of entertaining the troops around America? They called Taylor to come in and give this guy a motivational pep talk. Then he went out there and got beat just like Taylor did.
Listen, I have no idea what you're talking about anymore, but thank you everyone for watching and listening to Mailbag Monday with Gerald Briscoe. I'm Taylor Williamson. Check out Gerald Briscoe at FG Briscoe on Twitter, at the FG Briscoe on Instagram. Check out on YouTube and on every podcast place. You can check out Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw, and check out his show on YouTube where him and Bradshaw, they watch old matches. What's it called again?
Best of the best.
Best of the best. They watch matches. They do
Why'd you make
commentary.
that face when you said that?
I made no face. I'm
Yeah,
putting
you didn't
over.
he make a face like, oh, yeah, sure. What a original name. Thank
I'm. I,
you. Thank you for all the support.
I'm selling your stuff, buddy. How dare you? That's not
Hey,
what
where
I
are you
meant.
going to be, Taylor? What do you got coming up? You already talked about that, but talk about it again.
Don't worry about me. Then
Oh,
check him
what
out.
the?
Cameo.
The old
Check
cameo.
Pro Wrestling Tees and check out Box of Gimmicks. Get some merch. Support your legendary, your local legend, Gerald Briscoe. I'm on Cameo. I'm on Taylor Comedy, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Taylor Williamson. I have a comedy special on Amazon Prime. I have a bunch of videos I'm posting on YouTube. I'm on tour. I'll be in Houston and I'll be in.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to.
That's taking longer than the show. I didn't tell you a live story of it.
Okay.
He drives a Prius with 30,000 miles on
Right, please don't give out my personal information. In Salt Lake
it.
City, I'm gonna be in
And
Salt.
his tag number is CA555.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show. Thank you for watching and listening. Be well, hydrate, drink your water, take your vitamin C and all the other ones. And
And support shelter dogs.
support.
Say it, get it out there. I know it's difficult.
I have an articulation disorder, but thank you for making. I'm glad you're able to find comedy in it. That's what I like about you, Gerald, is that you can take things that are hurt, that make people sad, and you find the humor in it, and it's a beautiful thing. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Support shelter animals and be well. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful time in your life.
He's out.
Bye.